At age 40, Lisa Napoli had it all, including a successful broadcasting career on both TV and radio. But she still felt that something was missing, and in order to find it, she ended up traveling to the other side of the world, to the small South Asian nation of Bhutan. She wrote the book Radio Shangri-La about her experience. Lisa will be one of Arizona Public Media's guests at this weekend's Tucson Festival of Books. I spoke to her from a studio in Los Angeles to find out more about Radio Shangri-La.
You know, I think everybody gets to a point in life where they wonder why they're doing what they're doing, and I did, and I didn't know what to do about it, like many people. And then I met a cute guy at a party, and that's where a lot of bad stories begin. But in my case, the cute guy at a party happened to be involved with Bhutan for many years, and he found that I worked in public radio. And a few weeks later, he wrote to me and said, would you be interested in going to Bhutan to help start a radio station? And I thought, of course, I don't really know anything about Bhutan, but of course I will.
So what was the first thing you found when you set foot on the land of Bhutan?
Well, before I'd gone, I'd done some online research, of course, thanks to the magic of the internet. I was able to do that. And nothing I read could prepare me for just how radically different the place was than my own place, Los Angeles. I'm from New York City. I'm used to living in big cities. But Bhutan is not like anything else in the world. It's completely undeveloped. Even the city where I have spent most of the time in my time in Bhutan, Thimphu, is developing, but the whole idea of no roads in so many places, no electricity in so many places, and just this friendliness and openness of the people, because they're so wondrous with excitement at seeing someone from the outside because they're not used to outsiders. It was just like landing on another planet.
And what was your mission on this other planet?
Well, my mission was supposedly to help with this startup youth-oriented radio station, which was being launched because the country was about to transition to a democratic form of government. And it was seen as a very important part of that to have a free and open media. And this station for kids, young people, was supposed to, you know, designed to help people get involved with the democratic form of government by keeping it in check and balance the way it is supposed to be here. I was supposed to come help them just with nothing specific. I kept asking before I went, what is it exactly you want me to do? And nobody could really say. In the end, it turned out what I was doing most of the time was working with the young people there to help them with their pronunciation of English language words. Even though they go to school in English, of course, there were some words that were awkward for them to say on the air. But also just basically like a den mother is what in the end I wound up doing, which gave me a lot of time to think, a lot of time to reflect on my life and reflect on my place in the world.
What parts of the local culture or customs did you warm up to and did you really respond to as Lisa?
Well, I loved seeing the religious aspects of the Buddhism as it was practiced there, because my understanding of Buddhism from here was much different than it turned out to be in a place where, you know, it's the last Buddhist kingdom, Bhutan, and it's a particular sort of Buddhism that's very colorful and filled with traditions and superstitions and all sorts of visible activity. There's a puja, which is a blessing ceremony, and it can take place, you know, it can be long or short. It just depends on the circumstance and what's at issue. And people were constantly inviting you to a puja at their house or a puja for their new house or their baby or their marriage. So that's exciting to see.
Did you ever find yourself getting homesick, though?
You know, I never really felt homesick as such. What I did want was better food, because I had a hard time with the Bhutanese food. It's very, very spicy. Their favorite staple dish is something called emadatse, which is stewed chilies in cheese. They eat chilies like a vegetable, red hot chilies. They have fantastic constitution, Bhutanese do, with hot food. And no matter who's listening to this who thinks they love hot, spicy food, I challenge them to have real, authentic Bhutanese cuisine and be able to do it, because it's really intense. So that was hard for me, because people wanted to invite me to their homes. Of course, they were very gracious and inviting, and I would go in, and this food was way much for me.
Let's return to the saga of building this radio station, though. How did that progress?
Well, it was really fun. By the time I got there, 4 years ago this month, the radio station had been up for a couple of months, and it was an immediate sensation. It was the only game in town. All these kids were playing music on the station, and there were a growing number of cars that never had anything to tune in on the radio. People there don't go out and buy CDs because, you know, they're not wealthy, so they don't have a lot of disposable income. So a radio station immediately became an asset. They sold out all the radios in all the shops because people were so excited about being able to hear. And what they loved was being able to interact with it, to call in and dedicate songs. So the kids had this fascination, as you know, young people around the world do, with pop music. They love pop music. And then there were sort of more specific streams than that. The older people, the two people running the station, who were high school principals in their previous work, loved country music, absolutely loved country music. And so there would be the country hour, the rock hour, the dance hour. And it was really funny to see how, just like would be the case here, some kids really, they held their nose when they had to do the country hour because they just didn't love country music. And some of them knew nothing about rock music and started having to research it and fell in love with it. There's one young woman there who was completely into the Grateful Dead and the Rolling Stones, and she's 22. And it would be fun to see someone 22 here fall in love with those 60s bands, but even cooler to see someone in Bhutan.
But then you decided to return to America at some point. What made that decision for you, and how did you end up writing Radio Shangri-La?
It would have been hard to stay in Bhutan because my visa was only for 6 weeks. And I had not asked my boss for more time, even though the Bhutanese wanted me to come for longer, because I didn't know how I would do. And I didn't want to leave my job behind. But once I got back, I knew I had to go back to Bhutan. The more I thought about it, the more I realized I wanted to not just go back to Bhutan, but I had to figure out how to explain this feeling I'd felt, that at midlife I'd felt so beaten down and defeated and unsatisfied with what I'd done. And all of a sudden going to Bhutan switched it, kind of like flipped a switch. And that's where I started thinking, maybe I should write about this. And then over time, I would run into somebody who would encourage me. And then I would write something down. And the young woman in the book, who is a main character, and she's going through her own transformation, a young Bhutanese woman, came to visit me. And that sort of pushed me over the edge. And all those things conspired, Mark, to make me want to write this book.
Lisa Napoli will be appearing at the Tucson Festival of Books on March 12th and 13th on the U of A Campus Mall. She'll be a part of a panel called All Over the Map, Women Travelers and Exotic Locales, happening Saturday at 11:30 a.m. She'll also have a Q&A about her book Radio Shangri-La at 2:30 Saturday afternoon. A complete rundown of festival events and their locations is available at azpublicmedia.org.